Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. They brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Well, duh. Of course he does all things well. He's God, right? I mean, Jesus is God. I mean, it's amazing that these people are just now being clued into this fact as we come to Mark chapter 7. They should have known it from the previous six chapters already. Jesus is God. He has all of the power of God at his fingertips. And what does he choose to do with that power? Lift himself up? Of course not. Right? He uses all of his power, all of his holiness, everything that he is, to lift up those who are downtrodden. He uses his power for the benefit of other people and never himself. As this narrative unfolds, there are several things that are important for us to notice. And probably first and foremost is the very, very first word in this little part that I just read. They brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. We're never told who they are. But back when I was in seminary, I actually worked for a man who was blind. You know, he had an impediment of some type. And I had to lead him around. Because when someone is missing one of their senses, it is often difficult for them to manage life, for them to get from one place to another. And so as we all know, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This man had never heard of Jesus because he couldn't hear. And so he needed to rely on a they who could take them to Jesus, who could take him to where Jesus' power was. Whoever this they is, they already knew about Jesus' power. They already knew about who Jesus was and what he could accomplish. And so what do? They bring someone who are desperately in need to Jesus, who can help. And then Jesus shows how he does all things well. Notice how he interacts with this man, right? He gets right down onto this man's level. He knows this man cannot speak. He knows this man cannot hear. And so what does he do? But he goes, ears, right? He puts his fingers in the ears and he goes, "Look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to heal your deafness." Right? He touches his tongue. "I'm going to heal your problem with speech." And then he looks up to heaven to show this man where this power is not coming from anywhere that you may have experienced before. "I'm not some great doctor. I'm not some great physician. No, this power is coming from above." And then, of course, by God's eternal power, this man is healed. But it's interesting where Jesus takes this man to. He doesn't just perform this miracle in front of the whole crowd. But our text is very specific to point out that he takes this man away privately. So it's Jesus and this man. Maybe a few onlookers are there too. But it's interesting that Jesus is going to do this pointing stuff to his ears and pointing stuff to his tongue. And he's going to look up to heaven. But then it's not like he gives some sort of outward display that this man can see when the miracle is accomplished. He doesn't snap his fingers. He doesn't do anything, you know, clap his hands. No, what does he do? He speaks. Jesus speaks to a deaf man. And you go, "Lord, what are you doing? He can't hear you." But it shows us where the true power is found. Ephphatha, that is, be opened. God speaks and healing happens. It's no different than what happened back in Genesis 1. God spoke, let there be light, and what was there? There was light. And so when God comes to a deaf man and he says, let your ears be opened, or in short, ephephatha, things happen. And truly, Jesus has done all things well. But this narrative from Mark is reflected onto our own lives as well. Unlike our text from Mark 7, though, you probably know who your they is. There was at one point in your life someone who we will call ambiguously they, who brought you to the place where Jesus was. They knew that you were a sinner in great need of forgiveness. They knew that you had a trouble and you needed help. And this they, whoever they may have been, knew God's great power before you. They knew Jesus to be God. They knew him to be the Savior. They knew that he could give you forgiveness and life and salvation and all of God's love. They trusted in Jesus already, and so they brought you. They wanted you to receive Jesus too. They knew you needed help too. And so they brought you to where Jesus was, in the church. That way he might speak a word to you. You'll never guess what the word was. Ephephatha. That's what God speaks. And his words weren't unlike those to this deaf man. And granted, none of you, I'm sure, were deaf. None of you had a speech impediment, although maybe you did, I suppose. But Jesus comes to you in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of a world that is lacking in peace and love and forgiveness. Jesus comes to meet us on our level, to give us those things that he knows that we need. He's empathetic with us, and he continually uses his power, not for his own benefit, but for your benefit. He touches those parts of your life in which you have trouble, and he tells you that he will be the solution. If not in this life, then certainly in the life to come. That's what ephephatha means. Be opened. Be open to receive God's glory. Be open to receive God's forgiveness. Be open to receive God's love. And truth be told, this deaf man, I wonder if that was his first word he ever heard. Ephephatha. If God has power in his word, then certainly that man's ears were opened at the very moment that Jesus spoke. And what happens? But this man's mouth was opened too. He can use clear speech to glorify God. And so can we. To proclaim God's praises. And in that way, we too can be they. That they who brings others to Christ. Because we are those who have already received his miracles. The miracle of his word and the absolution, the fact that your sins are forgiven. It is done in the speaking of the thing because Jesus has declared it. In the waters of baptism, we receive that heaven has been opened. In the Lord's Supper, we receive Christ's body and blood. Things happen when God speaks. Does the world need baptism? Does the world need to receive the forgiveness that we receive in the Lord's Supper and the strength therein? Does the world need the absolution? Certainly. Who can we bring to Jesus? How can we be they? But this is where it also brings us to an interesting point of the story, right? I mean, we always know in the church we're supposed to tell others about Christ and bear witness to our faith. But what does Jesus tell these people who see the miracle? Jesus charged them to tell no one. Why? Why would Jesus say, okay, I just did this great thing for you. Shh, don't tell. doesn't make any sense. But it's because the story's not complete. They don't know the story as we do. When Jesus performs this miracle, he is still before his crucifixion. Remember when Jesus is on the cross and he says, "It is finished," right? That is, salvation is finished, forgiveness is finished, everything has now come to being accomplished. But that hasn't happened in Mark chapter 7. So if you go out and you tell someone about Christ without mentioning the death and resurrection, you're going to be telling an incomplete story. It's great that Jesus heals the deaf. It's great that he makes a mute man speak. It's great that he does all manner of miracles through his life. But if any of that is proclaimed minus the crucifixion, minus the resurrection, then certainly we're missing the point. My friends, this is why we need to hear. This is why we need to come here, that Jesus might ephephatha our ears. It's why we should be in Bible study. It's why we should take every opportunity to encourage ourselves with God's word. Allow him to invest into our hearts. Because if we don't hear first, we will have no ability to speak. Jesus speaks ephephatha again and again and again. He's beaten, he's whipped, he's mocked, crucified, and buried. He sheds his blood and he dies for you. And on the third day, what happens? Ephephatha. The tomb is opened. Jesus bursts forth. Death could not hold him. And in that moment, heaven is open for every single believer. And if heaven is opened by Christ, who can shut it? No one. We see as much with Stephen, right? Stephen, the very first martyr recorded in Scripture in the book of Acts. And as he's giving this great proclamation of Jesus, and the Jewish leaders don't like it, and so what are they going to do? They're going to stone him to death. But in the last moments of his life, what does he see? Ephephatha. He sees the heavens opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, ready to receive him. It happens over and over, my friends. That first moment that you heard the word of Christ and you believed it, your ears were opened. When you were baptized, heaven was opened. Ephephatha. Because from heaven, Jesus pours down to you every good gift. And certainly it is salvation from all of our troubles in this life. But more importantly, it's the fruit of the cross, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Because that's what opens heaven. Throughout our lives, Jesus will pour out opportunities for us to hear his word and opportunities to speak it. He opens the heavens to pour down his blessings, both temporal and eternal. On the last day, when Jesus comes again in the clouds, you know what he's going to say? Ephephatha. The heavens will be open once more, and he will come descending to the earth to reunite the church of the past and the church of the present and the church of all times and all places. And he will put sin away forever. My friends, until that day, let us rejoice in the reality that Jesus is the one who opens God's blessings to us. He has opened our ears to hear. He has opened our mouths to speak. And for you and me, Jesus has done all things well. For he is the crucified and risen Son of God for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.